Amen. All right.
Well, hey, how many guys have ever had a bad day at the office? Ron, do you ever get challenged sometimes? Maybe? You're in my line of sight. I'm just looking right at you. Okay, a lot. You know, it happens. You know, you have some rough times at work. You know, things don't go your way. Okay, but believe it or not, no offense to whatever you went through in your trial, I don't think it was as bad as these guys. Okay, let's take a look at their day at the office. They happen, you know, bad days. How many guys would say that was a pretty rough day for those guys? Okay. And, but believe it or not, I think I found an even worse day than that. Ron, you weren't on there, were you? No. Last Thursday for Ron. Give it up for Ron. He's still alive. That's right. And hopefully still employed. But let's just move on. But you think those days are bad? Pfft, watch this. This is just one day in the seven-year tribulation. You don't want to be there. Revelation 8, 6 through 7. The seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet. And there came hail and fire mixed with blood. And it was hurled down upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up. And all the green grass was burned up on the whole entire planet. So much for saving Mother Earth. Okay, wait till you see what God does with it out of judgment, okay, his wrath. But again, you guys can see that that's a pretty bad day, right? Seven-year tribulation. And you wonder why the Bible says you need to avoid that time frame. Amen? Why? Because again, we're talking about the prophesied event, the horrible time called the seven-year tribulation. The Bible is very clear. It is a time when God pours out his wrath on this wicked and rebellious planet, 7 years, nine, nonstop. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 24, it's going to be, without a doubt, the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God kept it, in essence, to the 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. But praise God, God's not just a God of wrath. He's what? Hey, praise God, he's a God of love as well. And you know how he demonstrates that? What a shocker. He tells us in advance when it's getting close. So we have no excuse for being caught off guard. If you're not saved, you better get saved right now. Okay, but if you are, let's get busy telling people how to get out of there, right? Let alone eternal damnation in the hell itself. Okay, that's the privileged duty. So we're going to continue then in our study. The final countdown, tribulation rising. And the first sign, of course, we've been dealing with is the Jewish people and the Antichrist, okay? And there we saw that the Bible, so far, we've seen 15 future prophecies talk about being redundant, okay, for our blessing. How many different prophecies? 15 so far concerning just the Jewish people, letting us know it's getting close. We're living in the last days. We saw that Israel would return to the land. They'd become a nation again, a nation in one day, a united nation. They'd recapture Jerusalem. Their currency would go back to being the shekel. They'd have a rebirth of the Hebrew language. They would blossom as a rose in the desert. They'd become a light unto the nations. They would become a source of world conflict. They would have a powerful military. They'd rebuild their temple. They'd become spiritually deceived. And last time, if you were here, we saw, unfortunately, Israel would place their hope in the wrong Messiah, and Israel would place their hope in a deceptive treaty. Okay? And there we saw the sad news. Even the average Joe on the street, they have no clue about what to expect with the coming of the Messiah. They are all over the place on that. And unfortunately, that's setting them up to be deceived and to receive the false Messiah that the Bible said is coming on the planet. And as we sit here, the Jewish people right now, they've been for decades, but right now, they are trying to make a peace treaty. Again, of all places, Israel, 20 and a half of them can fit in the one state of California. The world is desperately wanting to make a peace treaty with Israel, right? Not Russia, not China, little bitty Israel. Right now, there's several different entities, political figures around the world who are trying to strike a treaty with them. And the Bible's very clear. 2,600 years ago, the prophet Daniel said that when you see a peace treaty go forth with the Jewish people, 7 years, that is with the Antichrist. It's going to be the Antichrist. We don't know if one of them alive today is, could very well be, but that's going on right now. And we saw that is the event that is going to start the seven-year tribulation. Folks, it's all happening right now, okay? But that's not all. The 16th end-time prophecy concerning the Jewish people, and this is what is so sad, so sad, so sad. And the Bible's clear about this. And so we're going to deal with it, Lord willing, in the next 2 weeks as we finish up our study. The Jewish people are going to head towards another Holocaust. Like, that's crazy. Are you serious? Yeah. Yeah. Open your Bibles to Zechariah. Zechariah 13, that's our opening text here. It's very sad. Man, I tell you what, there can be a way to avoid it if they get saved today, right? And that's why we need to witness to them. Zechariah 13, verses 8 through 9, okay? And page 1538 in my Bible, if that will help you get there. Or just look for, once again, those white, crisp, clean pages without a single wrinkle, as if you've never been there before, because, unfortunately, maybe you haven't. But you should be. Read the Bible every year. But anyway, Zechariah 13, verses 8 through 9, speaking, of course, of the Jewish people. What's going to happen to them, right? Here's what God says in the last days. Verse 8, here's what he says. In the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds, speaking of the Jewish people, how many? Two-thirds will be struck down in what? Perish. Yet, God's got a remnant. What's he say? Yet one-third will be left in it. Now, this third, God says, I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. And God says, I will say, they are my people. And they will say what? The Lord is our God. Finally, they get to that point. But at an unfortunate cost, you may be seated. Okay, but basically, again, we've seen this passage before, but it gives us some good news and bad news, okay, about the Jewish people and their coming future. Now, the good news is the blindness that we saw last time, Romans chapter 11, that was temporary, the temporary blindness they're under, finally, in the seven-year tribulation, it gets taken off, okay, and they realize that Jesus, of course, is the real Messiah. Okay, but it comes at a cost. The bad news is how many? Two-thirds of the Jewish people are going to be struck down. And the Bible says that's going to happen by the Antichrist. Okay, what's going to happen is at the midway point of the seven-year tribulation, the Antichrist, we saw before, Paul mentions this, as well as Daniel and Jesus and Matthew, we'll get to that in a second. He says the Antichrist is going to go up into the rebuilt Jewish temple. He's going to declare himself to be God. And do you think the Jewish people are going to do that? Mm-mm, right? He finally shows his true colors. They made a peace treaty with him at the very beginning. This guy's it. He's our Messiah. He's going to save us. He's going to do it. And then he shows his true colors. Well, they ain't going to worship this God. So what's going to happen? That's when this slaughter takes place. And that's the timing of what Jesus says here, speaking to the Jewish people in the seven-year tribulation at the halfway point. When you see that, you better run, right? That's what he says here, Matthew 24, 15 through 21. So when you see standing in the holy place, the temple, the abomination that causes desolation. Again, that's defined as the Antichrist saying, hey, worship me, I'm God. Paul mentions there. Spoken of also through the prophet Daniel. Let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea, what do? Run. You need to flee, man. Flee to the mountains. In fact, what's he say? Let no one on the roof of his house go down or take anything out of the house. Let no one in his field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Now, ladies, you ever been pregnant? How many guys entered a marathon? No, right? If you were in a hurry, did you get there quick? No, right? That's what he's saying. Man, I hope that's not you, because you ain't going to be able to run very good, and you need to literally run for your life. Right? Then he goes on to say, pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath. Do we worship on the Sabbath? No, obviously this text is dealing with the Jewish people. They still do. Well, on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to go anywhere. Now you're in a quandary. Here's somebody wanting to kill you, but you can't leave, right? And he also goes on and says, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. So this is that time that Zechariah is talking about. Unfortunately, the Antichrist is going to slaughter two-thirds of the Jewish people. God's going to keep a remnant, one-third of them, and Lord willing, we'll see that next week. Okay. Now, here's what's interesting. If this context is dealing with the global number of Jews, two-thirds of them, did the stats, and there's approximately 15 million Jews living in the world right now. 15 million. So do the math. Two-thirds is what? 10. 10 million Jewish people are going to be slaughtered in the 7-year tribulation. That's getting close to double what, I mean, it's not double, it's almost to what Hitler did. Can you believe that? You wonder why we need to witness to anybody, certainly even the Jewish people? Folks, there's only one way out of that future, and that's through Jesus Christ right now. The Bible tells us what's going to happen to him. It's sad. Now again, praise God, their eyes finally open up. But man, it comes at such a horrible cost. But my question for you and I is this, that's going to happen in the 7-year tribulation, specifically at the halfway point. And so do we see any signs that, are you serious? Our whole world could once again not just hate the Jewish people, but literally want to kill them? And so when an Antichrist guy gives this order, hunt them down, all 10 million of them, they'll say, yeah, we'll do it. Are we, I mean, Hitler, what he did, it wasn't that long ago. The Holocaust, could we, that fast? Is there any signs? Oh, it's crazy. Now, again, I don't have time to give you everything. I'm just going to hit some highlights. Okay, again, Lord willing, get the book when it comes out, and you'll get even more. But let me give you some evidence of this rise of anti-Semitism across the world, okay? We're going to start with the Muslim countries, okay? Shocker, but we'll move on from that. Here's one example in Turkey. Their President Erdogan, he recently issued a threat for a total Jewish genocide. He referred to a statement of Muhammad about Muslims killing the Jews, and he actually did this on Twitter. And then the news outlets, at least here, they weren't reporting on it. But he says, he tweeted out, those who think they own Jerusalem better know that tomorrow they won't even be able to hide behind trees, right? Now, most people don't realize this because they don't understand what the Quran really teaches, which, by the way, the Quran teaches the people of the book are the infidels who need to be murdered. Now, the people of the book isn't just the Jewish people. The people of the book is the Christian. You better keep that in mind. And if you want more detail, get our 8-week study we did in the past on Islam. Okay, but anyway, so it's from the Quran, and it says, in part, the last hour will not come unless the Muslims will fight against the Jews, and the Muslims would kill them until the Jews would hide themselves behind a stone or a tree, and a stone or a tree would say, Muslim, there's a Jew behind me, come and kill him. That's what he's referring to, right? Everybody says, oh, the Israelites, they're being so mean, they're trying to stay alive, because the nations around them want to kill them. And get rid of them. Then he goes on to say that the U.S. is responsible for all this because of President Trump's decision to acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of Israel with the embassy move. And he said, those who turn Jerusalem into a prison for Muslims and members of other religions will never be able to clear the blood off their hands. Yeah, like we're making you do it. You know, give me a break. But that's just Turkey. How about the PLO? Shocker. PLO, of course, stands for the Palestine Liberation Organization, right? Many, many times, I can't give you all of them, right? They repeatedly call for not just, let's go get Israel, let's annihilate Israel. Now, this is their current president, Abbas. He recently, again, on Twitter. So it's all out there for the sea, but why ain't the news ever reporting on it, right? Here's what he said. He said, our goal is the end of Israel. We don't want peace. We want war and victory, okay? And again, at the time of this, not one U.S. outlet had reported on it. Okay, and then, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, he pipes out and said this is actually inspired by Abbas' predecessor, Yasser Arafat. Okay, but this talk of peace is a lie, right? Now, remember when Abbas came over here and visited with President Trump? Do you guys remember that? And remember how he had the audacity to say on camera, oh, we're a religion of peace. We're here to, I don't know what people are saying. Why are we so bad? You know, we encourage our children to be children of peace. Is that true? No. In fact, let's see who's telling the truth. Okay, watch this.
أننا نربي أطفالنا وأحفادنا وأولادنا على ثقافة السلام.
I heard President Abbas yesterday say that they teach, Palestinians teach their children peace. That's unfortunately not true.
حجري حجري صار كلاشنكوف
براموستركم
لما ذبحناهم في شوارع بيروت لجلك يا ابو عمار لعيونك احنا نموت بكره نجيب الثار قائدهم بتابوس احنا الفتح عصار للثار ودم ناقوت
نحارب اليهود ونقتلهم نقدر عليهم
الى حرب تدق الظلمه تزك روح صهيوني
الى حرب تدق الظلمه تزك روح صهيوني
الى حرب تدق الظلمه تزك روح صهيوني
الى حرب تدق الظلمه تذهب روح صهيوني،
إلى حرب تدق الظلمة تزك روح صهيوني.
برافو.
شيل سلاحك قاوم وارهب، دمر زلزل احرق واشعل.
يا بني صهيونة، يا شر البرية، يا قرودا همجية، يا خنازيرا شقية.
يا بني صهيونة، يا شر البرية، يا قرود همجية،
قرودا همجية، يا خنازيرا شقية.
أعداء الله أبناء الخنازير، تصب النساء في الميادين، وين أمة الإسلام والمجاهدين؟
برافو زقفي.
قد بنيت خطتي على نار الحقد والكراهية التي تملأ قلوب اليهود نحو محمد وأتباعه.
إن عدونا صهيون شيطان له ذيل، وأن عدونا صهيون شيطان له ذيل،
وأن عدونا صهيون شيطان له ذيل،
وعدونا صهيون شيطان له ذيل.
شكرا كثير لك يارا، انا بحبها هي كثير كثير القصيده.
احنا بدنا نقول انه فلسطين موجوده وفلسطين رح ترجع وما في شيء اسمه اسرائيل.
برافو عليك.
Yeah. Wonder who's lying. Give those kids a few more years, they're going to be young adults. Somebody gives an order, let's go slay the Jewish people. Do you think they're going to resist? They're going to jump on the front lines, folks. Okay, and that's just the kids. The adults are doing it too. He goes on to say the goal of the Palestinians is to wipe Israel off the map, and even they will actually kill their own people if you show favor to the Jews. Watch this. Selling land, this is a headline, selling land to the Jews will get Palestinians killed. There's the guy right there, Palestinian man. He was suspected of selling land to the Jewish people. They murdered him. And they did the same thing to his dad, who did the same thing 30 years ago. That's how sad it is. How about Iran? Their leader, of course, Ayatollah Khomeini, he again openly calls for Israel's destruction. He says, quote, the only cure for Israel is annihilation. And again, this is on Twitter. He's throwing out these tweets, right? He called for the Palestinian Arabs in Judea Samaria. He said, quote, this barbaric, wolf-like, and infanticidal regime of Israel spares no crime and has no cure but to be annihilated. Why isn't somebody reporting on this? It's crazy, right? It's not the first time, obviously. And again, he goes on to talk about the Israeli government. He says that they are the most wicked terrorists in the world. What? Look in the mirror, right? Wicked terrorists in the world, and Israel was an illegitimate, and I just put the word blank in there because I'm not going to repeat it, what he said. Regime. It's crazy. That's going on. And then, of course, he calls us, the United States, the smiling enemy. Really? But I don't know if you could see that, but they not only say death to Israel, they say death to America. Okay? Again, we're looked at the big Satan. They consider us. Israel is the little Satan. Egypt, of course, a TV host. I'm just going to give you one example. We could be here all day. He said, quote, the Jews are using the Holocaust to suck the blood of Germans. He goes into this anti-Semitic rant. He does it all the time. Again, I'll just give you one example. Here he is so excited about the downing of an Israeli airplane with Jewish people. He celebrates by giving out chocolates. Watch this.
أنا فرحان. يعني كنت فرحان امبارح بس كنت يعني مهموم قوي بالحرب الدايره دلوقتي على الارهاب في مصر. لكن انا النهارده قلت ايه بقى، عايز اعبر بطريقتي عن اسقاط الطائره. مش عارف الفيديو لو كان عندكم يا شباب بتاع اسقاط الطائره ده، اسقاط الطائره الاسرائيليه. ما يعني الحقيقه ممخمخه المساله معايا شويه، انه اسرائيل اللي كانت وما زالت وستظل العدو رقم واحد للعالم العربي والعدو رقم واحد لمصر، مهما حضرتك قلنا الموضوع الدبلوماسية والحاجات كده بتاعه كلام ده ماشي فين. فلنا أقصد أقوله في هذا الإطار إن أنا مبسوط، وأنا الحقيقة بما إني بحب الحاجات اللي خارج الصندوق، فإحنا إيه كلفنا أخونا خطاب وقلنا له ايه، عايزين يعني على قدر الاستطاعه طبعا نحتفي بهذا الامر، يعني بسقوط الطائره الاسرائيليه في سوريا. اتمنى ان يكون هذا السقوط من الجيش السوري، واتمنى ان يكون ده متوالي بقى. انا بس هوزع شوكولاته كده على تعالونا يا شباب والنبي الله يخليكم عشان بس الكاميرات تجيبنا كده. تعالى يا معلم تعالى وانا كل واحد يشد له واحده كده. الله يكرمك يا ريس، ده يعني بس استهناء بسيطه كده، كل واحد يشد له شوكولاته كده بمناسبه سقوط الطائره الاسرائيليه. شد يا ريس، شد زي ما انت عايز يا ريس.
Now flip that around. Flip that around. Can you imagine if an American outlet rejoiced over the downing of a Muslim plane, and then so much so had the staff come out and let's celebrate and eat chocolates together? What would happen? Why is this acceptable, and why is nobody saying anything about it? Okay, this is going on all the time, folks. The news over here will not do it. We'll deal with that, Lord willing, next time. Holland, but see, maybe that's just the Muslim countries. How about the rest of Europe? Oh, it's bad. Watch this. This is Holland. I kid you not. I got the actual video, but it was in Dutch, so I don't think it'd do you any good. But anyway, the soccer fan said, Jews burn the best, and my mother burned the Jews in the SS. This was at a recent soccer match. The chants also included Hamas, Jews to the gas. A longer one, this is the one I saw on film, said, listen to this, they were doing this at the huge, massive soccer game. Quote, my father was in the commandos, my mother was in the SS. Together, they burned Jews because Jews burn best. In Holland, this is not a Muslim country, all right, Holland. Anti-Semitism is on the rise. It's going to a whole new level. Another incident, pro-ISIS demonstrators called death to the Jews. They called them dirty Jews from the sewers. They need to be killed, right? Belgium, not any better. A cafe post, I'm not making this up, banning Jews from entering the store. Isn't that what happened in Hitler's day? Eventually, you couldn't shop, you couldn't do a business, and all that stuff. The sign in the Turkish and French announced, quote, dogs are allowed in this establishment, but Jews are not under any circumstances. That's going on right now today, folks, in Europe. Okay? Of course, they pasted a Palestinian flag and shawl. The Israeli flag was in the window, but it had a cross out. It was crossed out with a giant red X. That's the actual photograph up there in the shop window. But again, I put, what's underneath that? That's World War II stuff. That's Hitler stuff. Being repeated today, again, in Europe. And then an Orthodox Jewish woman said another shop in Antwerp refused to sell her merchandise out of protest. We don't sell to Jews. Again, it's being repeated as we sit here. How about Spain, right? I kid you not, I'm not making this one up. Spain, recently, videos were going around of Spain Muslim women stabbing Orthodox Jewish lady dolls. They made dolls of Orthodox Jewish ladies, and they're going around making videos stabbing them. Okay, they're chanting, catch and kill all the Jews, strike them and make the Jews bleat like animals, exterminate the Zionists, exterminate them, the world will be better off. And again, they're doing this as they're stabbing the Orthodox. It's a video very popular, unfortunately, over there. They're stabbing the Jewish Orthodox women. They're doing their shrill call to murder as they do it. And so shocker, is it a surprise that in Spain, there's been a bunch of Jewish people murdered recently. Furthermore, polls conducted say 29% of people in Spain have anti-Semitic attitudes. Listen, 48% of people, one out of every two Spanish people believe, quote, the Jews still talk too much about what happened to them in the Holocaust. Well, that's an event you should never forget, right? But now they're saying, oh, you're overdoing it now. And this has led the chief rabbi there in Spain. He said, quote, this is his words. Listen to what he says. Right now as we sit here, folks, Europe is lost. He said his community, the Jewish community there, is doomed. He says, don't think we're here for good. I encourage you to buy property in Israel. This place is lost. He also warned, don't delay. He said, don't repeat the mistake of the Algerian Jews, the Venezuelan Jews. You better get out earlier than late because the authorities in Spain don't want to confront this. And it's not even being reported over here is how bad it is. How about France? France, this is a headline. Their multiculturalist agenda is making the Jews pack their bags. They're fleeing France, folks, for their lives. Okay, most of them have come from attacks by Muslims, whether they're immigrants or French-born, and many of whom who are not assimilating into the French society, if not rejecting it entirely. And again, if you saw our Islam study, 8 hours, check it out, folks, that's what they're taught. They are not here to assimilate, they're here to take over. That's what they're told to do by the Quran. In fact, they have a practice called taqiyya that they are allowed to lie to your face as long as it advances the means and teachings of Muhammad and the Quran. So they say, oh no, we're here, we'll assimilate. No, they're not. Okay? And that's what France is dealing with right now. Now, France, the problem is, France is refusing to speak out on this. You know why? Because they are now dependent on the Muslim votes. That sounds like another country who is catering to some. Wow, interesting. Okay? Now, a poll there, 74% of French Jews are considering leaving France. They said it's more accurate to say that the French Jews were not just fleeing, we're fleeing France. We got to get out of here. Because they're not only being murdered, but they're the object of chance right now in France. Gas the Jews and kill the Jews. Okay? In fact, one lady, she's the mayor of a town over there. I kid you not, I had to look this up. Are you serious? It is. Okay, there's a lady over there, the mayor of the town. The name of the town, there's the signs there. It's called Matajudios. Now, that actually means kill Jews or death to the Jews. That's the name of their town right now. And it's crazy. She said, and the people say, you should remove that. That's not cool. She goes, it's absurd. This name has existed for ages. Nobody means to harm the Jews. Can you imagine if somebody petitioned to change the name of Las Vegas to the name of whatever it means in Arabic to kill the Muslims? And they're saying, this is absurd. Why are you getting all upset about this? That's going on right now. It's crazy, folks. Then, this is really sad. This is a French a Jewish Holocaust survivor. The headline said, she was found dead in her Paris apartment, incinerated. Okay, they burned her alive, right? 85-year-old French lady. Now, they're ruling this out. It's not a suicide, they said, because she had repeatedly reported to the police that these guys are out to get her. And they killed her. And that's what's so sad, horribly sickening, ironic. You survive Hitler's Holocaust only to be burned alive in France. Crazy. In our lifetime, as we sit here, okay? How about Sweden? Sweden, the MPs are saying that Jews are not true Swedes. In fact, this guy, Bjorn Söder, he's the deputy speaker of the Swedish parliament. He says the Jewish people need to abandon their identity if they want to be considered as Swedes. Wait a second there. And then he even says, you need to do this in order to, what's the word? Assimilate. What? So you tell the Jewish people you have to give up your Judaism, okay, in order to become a part of our country, but you don't do that with the Muslims that come over. And they ain't ever going to assimilate. Okay? Let's go on. Then a candidate suggests that, you know what we need to do? We need to deport all Jews from Israel. Right? It's a lady right here. Her name is Aldav Javidi. Okay? She's got Iranian roots. That's her picture right there. She's a candidate for the Feminist Initiative Party. And so the Jewish people says, are you serious? You're going to relocate all the Jewish people from Israel? And the Jewish people spoke up and said, quote, moving Jews against their will to solve a problem sounds like the final solution to me. What are you going to do, load them on trains? This is sick, folks. This is what's going on in Europe right now against the Jewish people as we sit here. Then the Jewish leader in that Swedish community said this. Listen to this. This is exactly like the 1930s Germany from which their grandfather had fled. They go on to say that this is rising not just there, but in, again, France, Germany, Belgium, Holland. The overall number of anti-Semitic incidents in the world has jumped 383%, with Europe specifically growing 436% increase. It's going out of the charts. Why? Because unfortunately, what's the Bible say is going to happen in the last days? It's going to come again. Even as recent as what Hitler did, the planet is going to have to get severely anti-Semitic again. And it's happening as we sit here. It's crazy, folks. Okay, Switzerland, all kinds of violent attacks are going against them. One guy, a German a man, threatened three Orthodox Jews there with a knife. They actually reported this in their newspapers called the Blick. Okay, and so he's out there chasing these Jewish people down with a knife. Okay, now the good news is a bystander shot the guy. Okay, and then the police detained him. And they threw him in jail. No, they let him go. How do you get let go when you're going down the street with witnesses trying to kill people with anti-Semitic statements with a knife and the police let you go? That's what's going on, okay? Germany, I'll get to even more so in a second, but of all places, unfortunately, it's coming back there too. Three Germans, six Syrians were detained for assaulting a Jew in the park. It was an unidentified 19-year-old victim was simply wearing the Star of David. And they're going after him again in Germany. Right, Ireland begins to take legal steps to ban Israeli settlement goods, saying it's now a crime to do business with Israel. Watch this.
Irish MPs want to criminalise trade with Israeli settlements. The bill's sponsors assure the law is on their side.
Ireland is entitled to end its support to what the EU itself says are violations of international law. It's simply saying that if we are sure certain goods have been produced as a result of war crimes, we should not be trading in them.
So it's a war crime if you work with Israel with their goods and Ireland, of all places, right? How about England? Well, this is a lady. You can see her down here. Just one example. She's a UK Labour candidate. Her name is Nasreen Khan. She said, and I quote, "Hitler wasn't the bad guy. What good have the Jews done in this world?" Now, she wrote this under a video entitled "The Palestine You Need to Know." She further goes on to say, quote, "It's such a shame that the history teachers in our school never taught us this, but they're the first to start brainwashing us and our children into thinking that the bad guy was Hitler." Well, because he was. Right? Okay. Then she says, I kid you not, stop beating a dead horse. The Jews have reaped the rewards of playing victims. Enough is enough. She says, there's worse people than Hitler in the world. And of course, she's a what? She's a Muslim. Okay, as well. This is in England, by the way. Okay, right? Then she was questioned about her comments. She says, no, I'm not a Nazi. I'm just an ordinary British Muslim that has an opinion. Really? Then there was, I kid you not, a neo-Nazi rally in London, in a Jewish neighborhood. Here's their actual poster that they were advertising the event. It's called Liberate Stamford Hill. Okay, and it says that they're there to oppose the, quote, Jewification of the UK. Jewification, yeah, can you believe that? In fact, British anti-Semitism is on the rise. More than half of UK Jews, they're again fearing for their community. 23% of Britons are unwilling to have a Jew in their family. And similar numbers are found in Italy, again, Germany and Australia. And listen, 45% of all Britons are anti-Semitic. One in every two, right? Was England silent about the Holocaust? Yeah, And so is the U.S., folks. Do the research. Very sad. It's happening again. In fact, in just 2014, London suffered its worst hate crimes specifically towards the Jewish people. 95% of them was against Jews. But they're saying Britain is at a tipping point. Unless this stops with zero tolerance, it will grow and the British Jews will, again, not even have a place in that country, even in England. And here's another one. Jewish kids were recently barred from a U.K. store outside of London saying, no Jews, no Jews. In England. It's crazy, folks, what's going on there. And this is why one guy spoke up there, the British chief whip, Michael Gove. He says, Europe has forgotten the Holocaust, if you can believe that. He said, far from eradicating the hatred of Jews, anti-Semitism is considered chick or cool and by some, and this virus has spread across Europe. He notes a firebombing in a synagogue in Germany. Again, the signs allowing dogs in a restaurant, but restricting Jews in Belgium. And he says, quote, we must all remember where this leads. You know where it leads? Zechariah 13, another Holocaust, as crazy as that sounds, is coming. Our planet is ripe for it again. And of course, this spills over into the UN. The UN, of course, is behind what's called, as you can see there, the BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions, trying to penalize Israel economically, okay? UN is no friend of Israel, okay? What's sad is, though, you and I, the American taxpayers, are helping to fund this. Okay, because right now the U.S. taxpayers, us, account for 22% of the U.N.'s regular operating budget, plus billions of dollars they get in voluntary contributions to various parts. Okay, now praise God, our president has stood up to this baloney, okay, and he's cutting back. I'll get to that in just a second there. But one person said, I have not seen a single mainstream news article about these decisions being passed against Israel. Israel's ambassador, Danny Dannon, he spoke up and said, when the UN marks Jewish businesses so they can be boycotted, it reminds us of a dark time in history. Wonder who else did that? That's happening right now as we sit here. And again, they repeatedly make decisions against Israel, but they refuse to censure Hamas, the Muslim communities that are, as we saw, want to annihilate Israel, and they're even rejecting the Jewish connection to Jerusalem, right? Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he said, quote, the theater of the absurd continues at the UN. Today, listen to this, UNESCO adopted its second decision this year, denying the Jewish people's connection to the Temple Mount. He said, that's our holiest site. It's been our holiest site for 3,000 years. He goes, what's next? The UNESCO decision denying the connection between peanut butter and jelly? Batman and Robin, rock and roll? Right? They continue to make insane decisions against Israel, this global government system, and they refuse to show favor to the ones who want to annihilate them. Watch this.
At the time, the Middle East was full of Jews. Algeria had 140,000 Jews. Algeria, where are your Jews? Egypt used to have 75,000 Jews. Where are your Jews? Syria, you had tens of thousands of Jews. Where are your Jews? Iraq, you had over 135,000 Jews. Where are your Jews? Mr. President, where is the real apartheid?
Having obtained the necessary majority, I declare elected from the Asia Pacific states, Iraq, Republic of Korea, Japan, Turkmenistan, Saudi Arabia, to the Commission on the Status of Women.
Blockade of the Gaza Strip. Recognizing a clear link between prolonged occupation and gender-based violence, the gendered impact of the occupation.
In other words, what you are saying is as follows: when Palestinian men beat their wives, it's Israel's fault.
That'd be nice, but nothing seems to be done about it. And what's happened is now it's going all over the world. I'm just going to read some headlines real quick of just some of those examples. A wave of anti-Israel protests sweeps countries worldwide. These are just headlines, folks. At least 20,000 people demonstrated in London's Hyde Park calling for an end of Israeli aggression. Thousands protest against Israel in South Africa. Latin Americans renew their protests against Israel. Melbourne, Australia protesters rage against Israeli strikes. Jordanians stage massive pro-Hamas rally. And in New York, hundreds protest against Israel. Lord willing, we'll see that next week. Air France omitted Tel Aviv and Jerusalem from in-flight map displays, but showed Gaza and the West Bank. And Israel was wiped off the map and Middle East atlases, but clearly labels the West Bank. Let me show you those pictures. You see, that's the map there. There is no Israel. That's what it should be, but it's not. Let me blow it up for you there. Where's Israel? They just took it off the map. It's crazy, folks, what's going on there. Brazil admits Israel from passports of Jerusalem-born citizens, and even here in the U.S., Canada and France also admit Israel from passports for holders born in Jerusalem, stating only the city's name. In fact, recently when we went over there to Jerusalem on the way back, I was actually looking forward to getting that stamp in my passport, which some add to some of the other countries been blessed to go to. But they said, no, you don't want to do that, because if you do that, there's countries that do not recognize Israel as a nation, okay? And since they don't recognize Israel as a nation, if they see that in your passport, they won't let you in. That's what's going on right now, okay? But if you can see, what's all this? Why is this so important? Because the Bible says what's going to happen, unfortunately. In the last days, two-thirds. And if, again, that's the global number, about 10 million Jewish people are going to be annihilated. Praise God, one-third wake up. But could we really be at that point where our world will say, yeah, go get them, hunt them down? Folks, it's all over the place. And again, I'm just hitting the highlights, okay? But as we close, let me answer hopefully some questions. Why? How could this be? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that Hitler did what he did, annihilating 6 million Jews with the Holocaust. How could it happen so fast? Well, let me give you a couple reasons why. First of all, people are being paid to hate the Jews. They're being paid to hate the Jews. I kid you not, folks. Okay, headline, listen, terrorists responsible for the murder of two Israeli families and two rabbis get more than 10 million shekels from the Palestinian Authority. You know how much that is? That's over $3 million apiece. People are becoming millionaires for killing the Jewish people. Let me give you just two quick examples, okay? 19-year-old guy named Amar al-Abed, he was convicted Friday in murdering three members of the Solomon family, Jewish family, in their home last July. He's expected to be paid a pension totaling $3,485,812. It's crazy. Another Muslim guy, Karim Lufti Fatahi Razik, he was a gunman in the attack that saw Nama and Etam Hinkin shot dead in front of their children. In Samaria, there, Jewish people, he's expected to be paid a total of $3,106,367. They are becoming millionaires to kill the Jewish people. You wonder why it's on the rise? Right? Over there, that's their sick game of who wants to be a millionaire. It's crazy. I'm not making this up. Millionaires, not just here's a couple bucks. Giving money to murder is wrong anyway. Murder's wrong. But you're becoming millionaire. Oh, and by the way, it's a guaranteed payout. Because if the guy who does go kill the Jewish people, if he ends up inadvertently getting killed, his family gets the money. So somebody's going to become a millionaire, right? And they've even actually totaled it up, folks, that they're expected this year to pay out $319 million, the PLO, in what's being called pay-to-slay salaries and pensions. It's crazy. Now, again, praise God, our president has stood up to this baloney. And he says, we're taking funding away from you guys because we know what you're doing with it, right? Praise God for that. Okay, however, Abbas, he goes on and says, he listened, quote, even if we are left with one penny, we are going to use it for the paying of the salaries of these martyrs and, quote, prisoners of war. So why is anti-Semitism on the rise? Because people are being paid to hate the Jewish people. The second one, this is really crazy, folks, is they're back to glamorizing Hitler all over this world. This is not just wild, it's dumb. Now, for years, a lot of this was staved off because Mein Kampf was copywritten. Well, guess what just recently happened? 70 years have gone by, the copywritten, the restrictions have gone off. So now, Mein Kampf is released back to the public, full scale. And, quote, it has become a bestseller. An Italian newspaper is distributing copies to its readers. Okay? It is becoming a bestseller. Okay? And, of course, Jewish people were speaking up. They're saying, hey, listen, any interest in Mein Kampf by the European readers is enough to raise suspicion, especially when you see anti-Semitism on the rise. In other words, it's putting gas on the fire. What are you doing? But it's going all over the place. In fact, now because they've removed the restrictions, it's not just a bestseller in Europe. Listen, new copies of Mein Kampf have become available online throughout the world. Listen, Hindu nationalists use it as a self-help book in India. The Greek neo-Nazi Golden Dawn Party stocks their shelves with it in Athens. There's even a, I kid you not, a comic book edition of Mein Kampf in Japan. And it's being so glamorized that here's the actual photo. This is a Hitler clothing store. Right? And the owner says, I adore the name and the logo, and he decided to put them in front of my shop. Why are people so angry? A Hitler clothing store. Okay? And this is no surprise that Mein Kampf is a bestseller also in Turkey, Egypt, Bangladesh. Listen to this. This is crazy. And this is from the news. I'm not making this up. Where street vendors are selling copies of Mein Kampf as well as pirated copies of The Audacity of Hope by Barack Obama. Mein Kampf and that book, bestsellers. Crazy. What's going on? Maybe there's a connection there. Again, maybe you should go watch our 8-hour study on Islam, religion of war or peace. We have one whole hour study, 20-some video clips. Is Barack Obama a Muslim? So you might want to check that out. Mein Kampf, of course, means my struggle. And, of course, they take it, the Muslim community, as my jihad. Okay? And I kid you not, folks, I'm not making this up. And you can now get Hitler ice cream in India. That's the photo. It's not Photoshop. That's legit. Okay? And again, even of all places, Mein Kampf is becoming a bestseller in Germany again. The first reprint, 85,000 copies, topping the nonfiction list. It's in its sixth print run. Quote, it has flown off the shelves since its release. And recently, quote, school kids in Berlin are telling German Jews Hitler was good in Germany. And you wonder why it's on the rise. Let me just give you one more. We got to close. The third reason why is because people are being brainwashed to hate the Jewish people, right? They're being paid. Mein Kampf is, and Hitler's being glamorized, and they're being brainwashed, okay? Now, we already saw in that earlier video with who's telling the truth between Abbas and Netanyahu, how they're brainwashing the kids. Let me just give you a couple more highlights, okay? They're also sending these kids to what's called terror rallies. as you can see there. Hey kids, let's go have a go to a rally on Saturday afternoon, and they're there dressed in camo with machine guns, wanting to kill a Jewish person. Practice, practice. This is going on right now as we speak. There's another video that's a viral hit on Palestinian media. It's called "How to Stab a Jew," right? And that's a picture of the screenshot there of them showing you. And make sure with the chart, you know where to do it. But this has become a big hit over there. There's also a game. They're getting into the gaming industry. Games out there called Liberation of Palestine, which is encourages the gamers, of course, to liberate Palestine, of course, of the Jewish people, and use all means necessary. Now, believe it or not, I kid you not, the UK is funding textbooks that teach children to become jihadists. Okay? This came out not too long ago. British government was given £20 million to this effort, right? Now, you're thinking, well, how'd they do that? I'm just going to read it. This is from one of the science books that England is paying to teach kids science. Watch this. Okay? This is for 12-year-olds, right? This is a section where they're being taught Newton's second law of motion, and it reads as following. During the first Palestinian uprising, Palestinian youths used slingshots to confront the soldiers of the Zionist occupation and defend themselves from their treacherous bullets. What is the relationship between the elongation of the slingshot's rubber and the tensile strength affecting it? That's how they're learning science. And the UK is paying for those books, okay? Speaking of teachers, a Palestinian teacher was teaching Muslim kids how to perform beheadings on their toys. You can see the photo right there, as sick as that is. And here's another one, talk about sick. A child is dressed as a jihadi beheading his teddy bear. And the guy off the camera is encouraging him to say Allahu Akbar, etc., blah, blah, blah. Oh, and by the way, they recently had a kindergarten graduation ceremony. Like, what's wrong with that? Well, here's their version of a kindergarten graduation ceremony. Imagine doing this to your kid. Watch this.
ليش بدك تطعن اليهودي؟
لأنهم
سرقوا أرضنا. بدك تطعنيهم بإيش؟
بالسكين.
يا قوية أنت إن شاء الله يا بابا.
إيش بتقولي لشباب الضفة؟
اطعن 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 اطعن.
And you wonder why it's on the rise. Why doesn't that ever make the news? Proof's out there. They just refuse to look at it. And again, we know where this is leading. Zechariah tells us. In fact, I kid you not, let me read you a couple of headlines from the Jewish people, because they're having to deal with this. It is time for a new exodus from Europe. We need to start fleeing again. And this is a BBC executive, recently came out. He's a Jewish man. He said, quote, "I have never felt so uncomfortable being a Jew in the UK in the last 12 months. Quote, I'm not making this up, we are looking at the beginnings of a Holocaust." It's that bad. The Bible says that in the last days, in the seven-year tribulation, the Antichrist is going to slaughter two-thirds of the Jewish people. What you just saw is the tip of the iceberg. Lord willing, next week, we're going to deal with what's going on here in our own country. But our planet is ripe again. And Jesus said, when these things begin to take place, you need to stand up, lift up your heads, because praise God, our redemption draws near. Amen? Right? And so we need to be doing two things, folks, as Christians in these last days. Right? First of all, we need to be speaking up on behalf of the Jewish people. Right? You can't sit here and just keep your mouth shut when people around the world are wanting to kill them. We need to speak up in the face of adversity and let them know we got your back. Right? We need to, frankly, have the same amount of guts as this guy. This is cool, man. This guy is a Jewish guy who had had enough of the morning Muslim call to prayer. If you're over there in Israel, man, five times a day, they put it over these loudspeakers you can't miss. And, it's all out. Okay? He had had enough. So he got his own PA system as the Jewish guy. He goes across from the Temple Mount. And he says, oh, yeah, here comes the Shema, the Jewish call to prayer. Watch this.
Shema Israel, Adonai.
Turn to somebody and say, that guy's got guts. Or chutzpah, whatever you call that. Because we were there, folks. That almost looked like the Mount of Olives across from the Temple Mount. I'm not sure. But that whole area, big Muslim community. And you know they heard that. Right? But how about us? Are we speaking up? Number one, are we telling the Jewish people about Jesus? How to avoid what we saw. The Bible's clear. Unfortunately, another Holocaust. But are we speaking up in defense of the Jewish people? You know why the last Holocaust got as far as it did? Because people, including the church, kept their mouth shut. We need to be our own loudspeaker right now for the Jewish people while we have an opportunity. Because again, we need to realize that, folks, the people of the book, it's not just the Jewish people. It's the Christian. That's us. And we would do well to remember the words of Martin Niemöller. He was a Lutheran minister who lived in Hitler's Germany during the 30s and 40s. And here's what he says. He said, in Germany, they first came for the communists. But I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews. And I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists. And I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. Then they came for me, and by that time, no one was left to speak up. History, unfortunately, is repeating itself. But let our generation of Christians not repeat the same mistake by refusing to speak up and keep our mouth shut. We need to have some chutzpah and be a loudspeaker like that guy in these last days. Amen?
Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy, and we are not, How can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.